And coming up next, Wandering at You, it's the Bathrob Spears Broadside Show for December 14th, 2023. And this one is a flashback to 2014. Actually, Christmas Day on 2014, when Bathrob Spears Broadsides never rests and never gets any Christmas gifts either. Or perhaps I did and I forgot all about them. I don't know. But in any case, this is a flashback almost entirely taken up with the issue of so-called, what I called, performance pens, or dots for dumbbells, I guess you call them discs for dodos. They are the, you can find them on Pacific Avenue still to this day. They're little copper, I think they're copper, maybe brass, discs on the sidewalk in square pattern, which supposedly, or at that time, denoted the only spaces legal for people to vend, sit, spare change, or perform. And this was the kind of, I called them anti-homeless laws because I think that was their primary interest in reducing the number of homeless people who felt that the sidewalk in downtown on Pacific Avenue was the successor to the Pacific Garden Mall of the 70s, or actually, I guess it was 60s, 70s, and 80s, although I'm not quite sure when the actual Garden Mall became a specific garden mall with beautiful kind of waist-high brick planters and many trees and kind of wandering quality, all destroyed by a combination of the earthquake and city council anti-homeless legislation in collusion with the police department and the downtown association. In any case, what happened since then, I really talk about at length in this flashback, so I'm not going to kind of belabor it. There are a few call-ins that come up. David Silva, or Dead On David, as I call him, who was working on new plans to end the sleeping ban, which, of course, we're still suffering under. As recently as a few days ago, sleeping ban was used, I believe, although I haven't seen if there was a notice posted, the notice that destroyed, well, as a preparation for the destruction of the camp of Cooper DeAngelo, who you may remember we've covered on this show before, and the seizure of her property and that of the of other folks who were living in the encampment with her. And I'll be playing that, I believe, probably on Sunday. Be playing a lot more on Sunday. I tend to get jammed up on Thursday because of the Huff meeting, which tends to go on, and it was quite a spirited meeting. Who knows? Maybe I'll play some of it, too. We had a visit from Merity, the individual who created the original Santa Cruz free guide way back when, well, about 7 or 8 years ago. Maybe just a little bit beyond the time that this 2014 flashback covers. In any case, I talk about the details of this ordinance, which was just coming into, it had been completed, it had been passed, and there's a month delay time between when an ordinance gets its second reading at City Council and when it goes into effect, usually. And that was the case with this ordinance. What I played was an earlier visit to the sidewalk by then-mayor, or perhaps he was vice-mayor at the time, Don Lane, or Gone Lame, as I have frequently called him with respect to his homeless positions. He and the most reactionary member of the city council in many respects, Pamela Constock, the co-founder of Take Back Santa Cruz, got together and cooked up this ordinance in order to, quote, reform an ordinance passed a year ago, which was, I don't know if I would say it was even more repressive or repressive in a different way. You'll hear me discussing it, and so you can make up your own mind about this. That covers this lengthy attempt of Don Lane to justify the ordinance to street performers and homeless activists and some of the general public who simply came out to debate with him about it on the street. But it was really after the ordinance was sort of set in concrete, pretty much, and headed for a rubber stamp at city council. So it wasn't much of a real public hearing, and I talk about that as well. And these were in the days when we actually had a call-in line and a studio. So there's a couple of call-ins, as I mentioned. David Silva was one. Another one was a long interview with Doug Loiselle. Doug Loiselle was previous to Monica Martinez, who now I'm sad to tell you, is, I guess she's a candidate for supervisor district, not sure which number, but whatever you do, please don't vote for her. And I got to admit to a prejudice against poor Monica, because she made it her business to make it harder for homeless people when she was head of the what was then called the Homeless Lack of Services Center. I called it that. They called themselves the Homeless Services Center at 150 Coral Street. And that, you know, is sort of the main poverty industrial complex organization here in town. And I think I probably, I don't know how much I criticize or go into her mismanagement or her really anti-homeless management of that whole organization. But I do talk to Doug Loiselle about how it had changed when he was, for a brief 9 months, head of the organization before he was dumped. That's a long interview that takes up the second half of the show. And he was now, at that time, he had moved on to work for several programs in Monterey, one called Safe Places, or Safe Place, dealing with homeless youth. And anyway, a lot of detail in here. And right now, of course, the homeless situation and the public space situation on Pacific Avenue has changed somewhat, due partly to a state law which may change back, which essentially freed vendors from the very detailed, detailed particulars, very repressive particulars. It would be illegal to create your jewelry on Pacific Avenue. It would be illegal to sell it or display it for sale. There was no permitting process at all. It was simply banned, supposedly to protect the brick-and-mortar stores and to eliminate blockage on the very broad sidewalks, which is kind of hard to block on at least one side of Pacific Avenue. And again, the details will be coming up. You'll be able to hear them, as well as the details of the law and its implications for generally homeless people who are peacefully spare changing, or simply people trying to rest, maybe even nearby residents or elderly people. We've also talked in the past about the removal of benches, again, as an attempt to discourage gatherings of people, particularly homeless people who have really no legal place to rest for much of the night. And for some of the day as well, often, depending on the whim and mood of the police department. There will be more contemporary stuff if you want to tune in on Sunday, I believe, assuming that I have got the get up and go to get to it. I'm hoping to post the entire 3.5 hours, although this is already online, and you can actually see it on the city's website, of the unprecedented oral communications session at the Santa Cruz City Council last Tuesday, day before yesterday, if you're listening to this on the 14th of December, 2023, where there were demands that there be the City Council adopt a ceasefire in Gaza resolution. It didn't get as specific, I think, generally as I wanted it, and they didn't take emergency action. I believe they were misinformed, dare I say, lied to by the city attorney about the city council's power to do that. The city council has the power to do emergency ordinances on the spot if it wants. In order to do that, they need to get a supermajority, and they need to have an emergency reason. I don't know. It seems to me the massacre of 18,000 people, the majority of them women and children, overseas with money being given by the United States and weapons supplied by the United States, it's kind of enough of an emergency to stop it. But they were all set to just kick it ahead, and they still may, to the second meeting in January, when there'll probably be twice as many, if not more, people dead in Gaza. As it is, the decision was to, if possible, set up a special meeting in this next week. I'm not terribly confident that's going to happen, but what was impressive was the line extending out the door and down to the sidewalk of people who wanted to speak. And I'm quite impressed with Keeley, Fastlane Fred, as I've kind of whimsically called him and critically called him, for actually allowing that, although he didn't seem to consult the city council. He didn't seem to give any advance notice that this would be possible. He might have gotten a clue that so many people were showing up that he better damn well do something other, or he would find there would be strong civil disobedience action. I don't know. I had not even heard that this protest was happening, so maybe I'll have more information about it on Sunday. I do also know that the same day the Board of Supervisors rejected the idea of a ceasefire resolution, while the City Council accepted the idea of at least discussing one either at a special meeting in the coming week or in January. It would be the second Tuesday in January if you're a regular City Council fan. So I'll hope to give you more details about that and other stuff that happened over the last week in terms of protests. There's a bunch of political stuff, endorsement forums that happened, which weren't terribly interesting, but ACLU had an award ceremony which was protested by people who didn't like the head of the health department getting an award, but did like, at least some of us did, the behavior of Reggie Meisler. Tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the 14th, on the 15th, Friday, at the Dream Inn at 9 o'clock, there is an oral communications period around allowing access to the Coastal Commission, which I encourage people to go to. I don't know if I will be there myself. I may be out of town, or who knows, asleep in bed. But if you're up that early, and if you feel strongly about the infamous oversized vehicle ordinance, the OVO, that was, it's the attempt of the City Council and the right-wing faction of it, which actually the whole entire council is now in that category, with the exception of Sandy Brown to some extent. Go and tell them about the fact that the City Council's ordinance is being misused, or as Scope It Out Scott Graham said to me earlier today in a phone call, he said it was City Council simply lied to the Coastal Commission that they would provide space for vehicles to go, that they would not be enforcing the ordinance until they had spaces for vehicles, that they don't have spaces, that all the spaces are full. The few they provided, the 18 or so spaces in the so-called Tier 3 Safe Parking Program run by the Santa Cruz Free Guide. Now, if you want to hear more about that, you can go to the earlier meeting with Evan Morrison, the head of the Free Guide and of the Tier 2 and 3, actually the Tier 3 program. The Tier 2 program he doesn't head, but he does have some information about. Tier 2 program is headed by the infamous colleague of Susie O'Hara, who is another staffer from City Hall, who is running this Gone by Dawn program, which, as Scope It Out Scott rightly points out, does not allow vehicles with expired registration or too many tickets or leaks, oil leaks. And it also, of course, requires you to move twice in 24 hours every day. And for people who are poor, that is a serious hardship to have to do that. And certainly it would deny your coastal access. Will the Coastal Commission pay any attention to this? I seriously doubt it. I think for that to have worked, they needed to be pestering and picketing and making formal complaints to the Coastal Commission right and left over the last month, and both to my shame and that of those other activists. Santa Cruz Cares was one group that was interested. I think Love Boat, Huff, this Santa Cruz Homeless Union, which doesn't really exist at the moment or hasn't had meetings in about a year. And that needed to be done in order for there to be some basis for the Coastal Commission or some pressure on the Coastal Commission. It had to be pressure on the local Coastal Commission staff, and I don't think if that happened, I wasn't made aware of it. But maybe I'll be able to get Reggie Meisler on the line to talk about this ex post facto after this meeting, which is a rare Coastal Commission meeting that's actually happening in the Santa Cruz area. Usually it happens in some other part of the state. Occasionally it's happened here. When it has, it's been in Scotts Valley, which is, you know, a ways from Santa Cruz, although if you're middle class and you have a vehicle and you have an ability to slip it into your schedule, you can get there. So again, 9 o'clock, oral communications, tomorrow morning, Coastal Commission at the Dream Inn. That's the hotel kind of near the wharf on the waterfront at 9 o'clock. So go there, check it out. I think you also can go online and get more information. Look it up under California Coastal Commission. Go to the agenda and learn how to do that if you're interested. I was going to say call Reggie Meisler because he's actually going to that. I spoke to him earlier today, but call me at 831-423-4833, and I'll see if I can get more information for you on that or point you in the right direction. And you may have to do some of the research work or legwork yourself. And again, the simplest way is just to go down there at 9 o'clock. And there may also be some way to previously attempt to, I don't know if it's first come, first serve, or you can try to reserve some kind of space to speak at oral communications. There's nothing on the agenda at the Coastal Commission that actually talks about this issue, though, that I know of. And I haven't examined the agenda, but that was the word from activist Reggie Meisler, as I mentioned before. He's the man I'm relying on a lot. In fact, maybe what I'm going to try to do is get him quickly before I end this sort of brief intro to the flashback to December 25th, 2014. So hang on here. And let's see if we can get him on the line.
Hey, what's up, Robert?
Hey, Reggie. I'm getting this ready for a 6 o'clock netcast. I'm wondering, how do you advise people to be able to either call in or come in to speak at the Oral Communications section 9 o'clock tomorrow at the Dream Inn for the Coastal Commission?
I would say just try to show up at 9 a.m. at Dream Inn and see if you can get on the public comment list. You could also, signing up online is ideal, but you might be able to show up too. I don't quite remember how this esoteric public comment stuff works. Signing up is your like guaranteed way of getting in there. I mean, the whole thing is, it's tough at this point because they recommend that you sign up by 5 p.m. the night before, which we're obviously past now. So it might be that people aren't able to get in to this meeting if they haven't signed up yet. But they could, we could just try the next month. There should be another Coastal Commission meeting the following month. The only reason why this one was interesting this month is because it's being held locally, which is not common. The Coastal Commission moves around where it's located every month.
Have you had any communication with the coastal staff regarding complaints? I was talking earlier with Scott Graham, as I mentioned to you earlier, and he was telling me that there has been a violation of the, and as you have told me too, I believe, as well as people coming to the Huff meeting, people are getting cited or warned without, or actually cited without having had real storage facilities being made available to them. Although I heard that the Tier 2, I suppose, is being used as the pretext, the Gone by Dawn facilities downtown.
Yeah, Tier 2 is their pretext. So if people aren't using Tier 2, then they can get cited right now. There's a lot to talk about with people because I think there's a lot of confusion about how all this stuff works.
Have you complained to the Coastal Commission about any of this specifically, or do you know if anybody involved with the struggle to get the OVO dumped or at least examined more carefully? You know, what I should do is I'm going to talk to you about this. If I can, maybe call you tomorrow afterward. You can give me an after-hours report, and I can play it at greater length on Sunday if that's okay with you.
Yeah, why don't we try to do that? Sounds good.
And I wish you luck there. I'm probably going to be gone, and so you're just going to have to carry the flag there, Reggie.
Yeah, no problem.
I appreciate you doing that, and I'll talk to you again.
All right. See you, Robert.
Take care. And with that, we're going to go directly into the flashback. Here it is.